Welcome back, friends. This is Peyton Jones on your journey through the Word. Today, we'll be in Acts chapter 5, discussing everyone's fear factor. If I'm honest, this is not my favorite chapter in the Bible. That's because it involves corruption and lying in the church, and I run from this stuff because I can't stand it, and you probably can't either. But I'm glad that the apostles didn't run from it. Instead, they confronted it. Reading about corruption in the church isn't always easy or fun, but I'm glad it's there because we can be comforted that it's nothing new. People are people, and they've always been people. Plus, we can learn from the apostles about how to deal with people who lie and take advantage of others. Kill them. Kill them all. Okay, wait, that's drastic. But bodies do hit the floor in this chapter, so brace yourselves for impact. Verse 1. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you've lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, carried him out, and buried him. If you've ever told someone to drop dead, you probably didn't expect it to actually happen right then and there. Peter only told Ananias what he'd done. You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. It's not that Ananias kept the money. Peter says that was your right. It was that he lied about it and paraded it in front of everyone as a great sacrificial act of worship. He could have told Peter, hey, I kept some of it, but here's what I'm giving to God, and it would have been cool. It was in the lie that the danger lay. It's hard to say why God killed him and why he hasn't killed other people who've done similar ripoff things in history, but the result of it was that great fear seized all who heard what happened. There used to be a show called Fear Factor that tested the limits of people's fears, like the fear of insects, rats, or gross things. If you weren't afraid of eating live frogs on camera, you lucked out because maybe the person competing against you had a phobia of eating live frogs on camera. Nobody has the same fears, after all. And in this passage, we note that Ananias and Sapphira lacked the fear of God, the necessary fear of God. Now, there's a wrong kind of fear of God and a good kind. The wrong kind makes you shrink away from God out of fear for punishment. But the right kind of fear of God makes you draw near to Him. It's a reverence and respect, and it actually comes from love. You love God and don't want to be outside of His plan and purpose for you. Plus, you don't want to hurt Him. It's like fearing hurting one of your parents. Lying to God is not loving God. And 1 John says, perfect love casts out fear. When we walk in the love of God, not only do we obey Him, we also shrink away from things like lying to Him or running headlong into sin. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, verse 7, about 3 hours later, Ananias' wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they'll carry you out also. Thump. It's funny, she made a similar sound as she hit the floor as her husband did. But verses 12 through 16 tell us that this was an extraordinary time of miracles, so it kind of makes sense that it would also be an extraordinary time of God turning up and dealing with corruption too. Verse 12, the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets, laid them on beds and mats so at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Okay, all of this gospel ruckus was eventually bound to cause a stir. People getting saved, people getting healed, shadows falling on passersby, dogs and cats living together, pets' heads falling off. So the religious leaders decided to put a stop to it once for all. Verse 17. Then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go, stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell all the people all about this new life." At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and began to teach the people. Well, this causes even more pandemonium. The guards report the apostles missing, and the high priest, who I imagine speaks in John Cleese's voice, is beside himself with anger. "Didn't we not tell you not to teach in the name of Jesus?" But Peter's response is anything but funny. It's awesome. And it also has to do with the fear of God. Verse 29. Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. Peter and the apostles are like a bad penny that just keeps turning up. It's hard to fight men who get springed by angels when you throw them in the clink. But the religious leaders must have felt they were playing whack-a-mole with the apostles. They finally decide to go nuclear and drop a grenade down the hole. They're going to kill the disciples, kill them all. But the voice of reason is heard above the shouts of rage in verse 34. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered the men to be put outside for a while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin. "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men." For a few verses, Gamaliel recounts multiple people that rose up and their movements died. Therefore, he says, verse 38, "Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone, let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it's from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Gamaliel's logic is impeccable here. If God is not with the apostles, their movement will fizzle out. But notice the fear of God comes back into Gamaliel's speech in verse 39. "But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." That makes them pause. The religious leaders listen to Gamaliel, but flog the disciples one more time for good measure. Plus, it also made them feel better. But funny enough, it also made the disciples feel better. In verse 41, they left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for his name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. They never stopped. They didn't fear the Pharisees because they feared the Lord, and they counted it great joy that they were worthy to suffer alongside Jesus. That's the kind of fear of the Lord which comes from love. They never stopped loving Jesus or talking about him. Neither should we.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.